Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio on Green 960 KKGN every Saturday at 5.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to the Joan Kenley Show. This is Conversation Radio, where talking really matters. Before we get into our topic about activism for change, I'd like to share an excerpt we found online from the Robert Redford film Lions for Lambs, a timely movie that challenges the viewer to examine exactly what are we ignoring or isolating ourselves from. Just what happens when we turn on radio or television news or read the newspaper each day? Serving as an indictment on U.S. foreign policy and the endless war on terror, Lions highlights the symbiotic relationship of the life and death military decisions made by our government officials, those who have never seen combat. It also shows the journalistic salesmanship needed to garner public support for so many important life decisions. Take a good listen to this short clip from the movie.
The problems with us, all of us, who do nothing, who just fiddle, who try to maneuver around the edges of the flame. And I'll tell you something, there are people out there, day to day, all over the world, that are fighting to make things better.
You think it's better to have tried and failed than failing to try, right?
Yeah.
But what is the difference if you end up in the same place?
At least it is something.
This short sample is just a taste of a film that's crafted to shake the collective consciousness of our entire society, shake us out of apathy and into action. And so with that in mind, we're all geared up for a lively conversation today about activism for change with Dot Maver and Matthew Albrecht. In this hour, we're going to take an in-depth look at what actions our honored guests have been involved in for positive change, including their support for the proposed Department of Peace. The difference between anti-violence and pro-peace. What we need to know about all this from the presidential candidates. You'll find out what you can do to get involved in change opportunities. And so I'm so pleased to tell you now about our guests. Dorothy Maver is here from Vermont, and she's one of the founders and is executive director of the Peace Alliance, an organization that empowers civic activism for a culture of peace while advocating for a U.S. Department of Peace. Dot was the national campaign manager for Kucinich for President in 2004 and is co-founder of the Vermont Peace Academy. She's active in community organizing, inspiring cooperation on behalf of the common good. She's also authored the book Conscious Education, The Bridge to Freedom. Matt Albrecht is a longtime ecological and social justice activist and is also a founding member of the Peace Alliance, which was founded 3 years ago. Matt is currently involved in a Bay Area-wide initiative that will harness the efforts of dozens of groups and cutting-edge programs to drastically reduce violence as well as help to create new models for collaboration that can be replicated in other cities and countries worldwide. A big welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan.
So let's begin with your story, Dot. Tell us your journey as an activist and what you've been involved in, which I know is a lot.
Thank you for having us on the show. It's a delight to be here with you and for the work that you're doing for peace and helping
Thank
to
you.
Create the conditions for a culture of peace, Joan.
Well, we're all in this together, aren't we?
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Creating together a world that works for everyone. And my background is actually as an educator. I began my career many years ago now, teaching health and physical education and coaching. And I'm known in the softball world as Dr. Dot, with the Maver Method, a revolutionary fast pitch hitting technique. And having said that, the reason I bring that up is it has always been about the spirit of cooperation for me, even while coaching competitive sports. And I think that we are living in a time as a global family where that spirit of cooperation is really coming to the fore. And Matt and I have been active for many years together now. And we are delighted to talk about the activism that's happening not only in politics, but it's really government, civil society, partnership with business connected to it, and all facets of life now where we are consciously striving to create those conditions for a culture of peace where we learn to deal with conflict wisely and responsibly before it ever escalates to violence.
Well, we're really at the edge of great possibility if we only grab the opportunity right now, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so much possibility that we have. The whole field of social science and psychology has grown so much over the last couple of decades to where we really have an understanding of how collaboration, how projects can come together in the sense of sort of a more holistic perspective of life in the world. And we have a lot of opportunity in front of us to really take that on.
Well, because we know the world so much better than we ever had through the internet and communications, and it's scary and it's opportunistic at the same time, because the more stories we know, either we get number or we get more active. And we cannot be in denial. I mean, nobody is in isolation anymore. But frankly, you know, when you were part of the founding group of the Peace Alliance, I'd like to know more about that.
Well, the Peace Alliance actually came out of a need. We were a part of the Department of Peace campaign started an organization called the Global Renaissance Alliance, which Marianne Williamson founded. She's a best-selling author, fantastic speaker, advocate for all kinds of social justice issues, including peace. And so we were doing that as a part of an organization called the Global Renaissance Alliance. It was a 501c3 nonprofit, and it limited the amount of lobbying we could do. So in May of 2004, we decided to really take it on as the Peace Alliance, this new organization, and it grew from there. And Doc came on after she finished with the Kucinich campaign, and it just really launched and took life.
That's great. That is so great. Well, I would have to say that somewhere along the line, before the 2004 start of the Peace Alliance, you probably had some other activities, Matt, that you were involved in as well. And tell us a little bit about that as you were coming out of college or younger.
I did my undergraduate work at Sonoma State University in eco-psychology, which was
good.
A very alternative track, kind of looking at the ways in which we affect the world and the world affects us and how interconnected we all are. So I had that grounding of kind of these interconnections of how everything fit together. And then did a master's program from New College, which is based in California.
Oh, yes, we know that well here.
Yeah, Humanities and Leadership program. And so my educational background was very much steeped in that. And all the while I was doing my activism with Ralph Nader's program, and it was called the Oaks Project at the time, was very much involved with that. And then Marianne Williamson came out with a book called The Healing of America that really got me inspired in the sort of spiritual grounded sense of holistic, you know, politics and how you can really become engaged and change the conditions that are underneath the problems that we see and how you really address those so that the problems dissolve from that space.
Well, I have to say that when people talk about activism, there is a positive and a negative interpretation of it, because sometimes they think it's people raging down the street or doing something that's not really peaceful. But I have to say that in the Bay Area, when we went to war in Iraq, and not only here, but all around the world, there were very peaceful marches against the war at the time. And I thought that was a huge shift for humanity, but our government paid no attention to these peace marches. They were in London. They were all over the world. And the voice of the people does need to be heard, but it seems that there is a blind ear and a blind eye to what the people want.
Well, Joan, I think we're living in a moment in time when you're absolutely right, that we are realizing that to continue to fight against what we do not want actually gives that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, to put our, and what we are realizing as a global family, and I will say particularly speaking with young people, our youth today, is that we recognize the necessity of putting our energy and our activism, if you will, in the direction of what it is we actually want. And that's a very basic life principle. And I don't think we can expect our governments around the planet to be the first ones to say, oh, let's change. Isn't this a great idea? Because we are so entrenched in the systems that we are presently in, and that's been ongoing for decades, if not hundreds, and in some cases thousands of years. And so it really is, as you say, Joan, very astutely, the voice of the people, really the will of the people, as we step up and say, this is actually the direction we want to move in. And it's why Matt and I are excited about applied peace-building initiatives. And my next step, as we have talked earlier, is in that field to demonstrate what is possible and what will happen when we actually do focus on creating those conditions.
Well, our show is a special project of Pathways to Peace, which has been creating peaceful initiatives and doing work in the world for 25 years now. And Maven Madison is a proponent of all of the things that we're talking about here in the Peace Alliance as well. And we are so interested in how peace building, which the Pathways to Peace uses a lot in their literature and what they propose. And maybe, Matthew, you could say more about that.
Well, peace building is a new science. I mean, it's really practical, tangible programs and ways of thinking that have a huge impact on addressing the foundational problems, the underlying problems that lead to violence. Mm-hmm. And there are now so many effective programs across the country and the world that have a huge impact. What hasn't caught up yet is the awareness of what is possible and what's out there. That's where we're at the moment.
That's why we're having this program.
Yeah,
to make these things visible. And that's why we are joined with so many thousands and thousands of grassroots activists around the country in calling for a structure in our government. And in fact, we're part of the Global Alliance for Ministries and Departments of Peace, calling for structures in government that literally invest in peace.
And that's good. That's really good. You had a wonderful luncheon in Mill Valley recently that I was so honored to attend. And tell me a little bit about that, because I saw so many people there so alive and really juiced up about getting involved in more programs and more grassroots activism than I have seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think in a large part it's because this type of work, which the Peace Alliance is not at all the only organization doing this or the only group doing this, but it's a new kind of work that really looks at a slower way of making change, which is addressing, the fundamentals, the root causes. And that excites people because there's an awareness now that we have the problems that have been built for
many
over centuries.
Years.
Yes. So we have to really invest the time and the energy to start changing the course in that direction. A lot of people, it's not the normal. When you were talking earlier about the sort of anti-war, which is so important that we talk about what is not working. We have to stand up for that. But we also have to deal with the larger underlying problems.
Oh, we do. And it's not a Band-Aid we're talking about. It's
no,
about
it's not a
quick long-term fix. Strategy for making a difference. So we have to take a break. And I'd like to say that words mean nothing. Action is the only thing. Doing, that's the only thing. And that's a great quote, because we have to get up and get going. And Louise Diamond of the Peace Company once said, "I believe our planet is facing a major crossroad, a critical choice point in human history, where the choices we make now will determine the very survival of our species." And I ask that you keep this in mind as we continue our conversation in just a moment. We'll be right back.
You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, right here on Green 960 AM, KKGN. What's not to love about The Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters, here on 960 KKGN.
Well, we're back, and I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to The Joan Kenley Show. We're talking about the many ways we can put action into activism for change. Our guests are Dot Maver and Matt Albrecht, who are both involved in spearheading the campaign for a U.S. Department of Peace, an initiative that also is heavily supported by Marianne Williamson. An interesting dream she had that she describes in her book, A Return to Love, tells about how she is called a hawk, not a dove. To Marianne's shock, it's discovered that she is at war with a host of political figures. And as her dream continues, there is acknowledgement for her role as a powerful force for change. But the dream also affirms that anger can't bring about peace. And so I would imagine that we all agree with that message here in the studio. And I would like both of you to talk about how that is reflected in the various ways you've seen activism for change evolve.
Yeah, thank you for using that particular quote from Marianne as well. Marianne has inspired a grassroots movement in this country around the calling for a U.S. Department of Peace, and it has to do really with transforming our angry political activism into compassionate political activism.
That's a great way to phrase it.
Well, thank you, because it's really hard, as many of us recognized up front, it's hard to do compassionate political activism with an angry heart. And
yeah.
So we actually are calling upon ourselves, recognizing that peace is an inside job,
okay,
to be the demonstration models of what it is we are asking our government to do. And so that quote is terrific, and we use NVC, nonviolent communication, as part of our training and offering to ourselves, staff, volunteers, everyone, Joan, throughout the country, mediation and using the conflict resolution skills and learning to speak the language of peace.
Well, I think we have to put it in our minds and our hearts to do that. And one of the ways I like to talk about more peaceful living is to brush your teeth with peace in mind in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go to bed with peace on your mind in the evening, with your family, with yourself. I mean, as a psychologist, one of the biggest wars in the world is the internal negative voice that people have about who they are, what they do, and how they do it.
Yes.
And so if you have all that static inside you, how can you possibly promote a serene, compassionate, peaceful day in the life of yourself?
In fact, when Walter Cronkite was at our conference a couple of years ago, he was in a conversation with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and that's what he said to all of these hundreds of activists from all over the country. Think peace.
Yeah.
Be peace. Do peace. Peace. Mm-hmm. Peace. Peace. Put it in everything. You're absolutely right.
And, you know, the Dalai Lama talks and writes about peace and happiness. And we keep saying, are you happy? And happiness is a big study going on right now. And peace and happiness do go together.
Absolutely.
And His Holiness has expressed in a letter to the Ministry for Peace Group in the UK his appreciation for the work in terms of calling for ministries and departments of peace.
That is so good. That is so good. So how are you seeing it evolve for your work in the world, Matt? Because I know you're out here in the Bay Area work for the National Peace Alliance.
Well, there's so much happening in terms of this new angle that's being taken of activism that really starts within, you know, this recognition mm-hmm. that peace starts within. It truly does, as you just so eloquently articulated. And, for example, in the Bay Area, we're doing a new project called the Summer of Peace, which will take place in 2009, which is
going
to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Really a cross-sector collaboration with the city governments in Oakland and San Francisco, all the, you know, citizens of the whole Bay Area, nonprofits, businesses, universities, really an all systems approach to making the Bay Area a national model for what it would take to create the conditions for peace, you know, really drastically reduce violence. And people are excited because you'll have a peace pledge. People can really take on their own peace pledge. What are they going to do? Random acts of kindness every day, meditation, take on an NVC class. There's so many things we can do from that level. And it's really what people are longing for. They want this world. You know,
well,
everybody
exactly.
Wants this
and
world.
I think this dovetails perfectly with the green challenge that's going on and the idea that we want to save our planet by
yes.
being green.
Yes.
This whole station is now green.
Oh, well, good for you, John.
So what's happening is that the green movement is dovetailing so beautifully with the compassionate peace movement, because if we have compassion for our earth, we will take care of it, but we have to do that peacefully, and we have to do it consciously. So if we're getting more conscious about our earth and what we do with it, we're getting more conscious about our actions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And our station, September 1st, went all green, and it's talking about green all day, and we've
That's
been talking
great.
About green forever. And so Green 960 is what you're listening to today, audience, and we are looking at how, again, peace and being green do go together.
Absolutely.
And tell us, Dot, I mean, you have the Peace Alliance in how many states?
Well, we're actually active in 50 states.
I thought
now.
So. Yeah. And you
270
have
congressional district team leaders throughout the country. And yeah, we keep growing and growing and growing, which says to me it's a politics of hope.
There you go. I like that a whole lot. I like that a whole lot. Well, just tell me more about what the specifics are in Congress for Dennis Kucinich's Department of Peace, because I think we hear about it, but what are the details? What is being proposed?
Mm-hmm. So let us begin by just saying this is not a new idea.
Oh,
John.
I know
Dennis
it's not.
Is the author of its present form, but this has been called forth for many decades. And in fact, the reason there's a United States Institute of peace is because of the bipartisan legislation in the 60s and 70s. And
very
during
good.
The Reagan administration, that was signed in. So imagine a Secretary of Peace at the cabinet level.
Oh, I love that idea.
Whose responsibility it is to put forth options for dealing with conflict by peaceful and nonviolent means. Imagine a National Peace Academy on par with the military service academies.
Good thinking.
Yes, for applied peace-building skills for our military and civilian personnel. And imagine, on the domestic level, that there is the research, the articulation, the implementation, the coordination, and the funding of programs and best practices that help reduce and prevent gang violence, school violence, ethnic violence, violence against women, any kind of violence that is occurring, and we know that violence is on the rise right now. This is a serious problem.
Very serious problem. Very serious. And I imagine, and Matt, maybe you can chime in here on this, that there's the frustration about what we cannot influence in our government, and we cannot bring the troops home, and we cannot finish off this conflict in Iraq, and the terrorism program seems like it's so amorphous. Is terrorism really being addressed? I think when people feel frustrated, they get more violent and angry. Don't
well,
you think?
Well, you do. When you don't have an effective outlet for anger, it becomes often violent, whether it's verbally violent, physically violent. There's, you know, it takes many forms.
Sure.
So it's very important that people do have an outlet. You know, we have to speak up against those who believe so, against this war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very important. But it's also important to take tangible steps to build peace and to change people's minds. There are many people who, from their fear, feel like, you know, this going to war in the Middle East is critical because they're scared of what could happen. But, you know, so from that place, which is high on Abraham Maslow's, you know,
yes,
hierarchy
of
needs, you know,
yes.
You have to really address that, and you have to paint a picture of what else is possible and show it. And so that's what we're called to do right now.
Because as Matt is saying, that's such a significant point that you're both making. We are actually calling for the end of the beginning of all war.
That's the idea.
Because to end one war, which of course we must end the war.
Mm-hmm.
To end one war, then we put our attention to ending the next war and the next war. And so at what point, as a collective human family, do we say enough?
Well, to me, war is the stupidest thing mankind ever invented. Why would you want to fight or kill another human being? Power is stupid, too, and conflict is stupid. I'm just going to lay it out there. But let's say, what advice could we give to the candidates for president so that they would be more proactive about what their platforms are coming into the presidential campaign?
Yeah, great question. I keep saying over and over, we need a compelling vision.
Yeah.
We need a compelling vision that unifies Americans again. And so that when that leadership, the courage for that leadership shows up, I think what we can be calling on right now is that leadership and that compelling vision by asking the questions, how will we deal with shifting from violence, a culture of violence, to a culture of peace? What specifics will you, as a presidential candidate, Joan, what specifics will you offer to reduce and prevent violence in our cities, in our communities, and internationally so that we do end the beginning of all war? We need to be asking the right questions so that we draw forth that vision from politicians who right now most are dealing with somewhat of a status quo.
Well, not only that, but I think a lot of politicians, for me, are too vague, and there are reasons for that. I understand that if you want to be elected, don't get too specific, because going into the presidential election, people don't like specifics. But on the other hand, if the candidates don't stand up for this end of all wars,
yes,
what are we going to do? And also the debt that all wars have created over the centuries,
yes,
is enormous, and we're handing that down to our children, this enormous debt war has caused that isn't even talked about in terms of the trillions of dollars that have gone into the conflicts.
Well, you bring up an excellent point, and it's one of our education pieces, actually, that Matt and I are passionate about, is investing in peace is wise because it simply makes sense, C-E-N-T-S.
There you go.
Exactly.
But truly,
C-E-N-T-S.
Yes, and we need to educate ourselves, I think, on two counts. One is that peace makes sense, and for $12 a day, we've demonstrated, those who are working with conflict resolution education in the schools in Ohio, have demonstrated that for $12 per day, per child, we can offer conflict resolution education, and violence statistics and discipline problems drop. If we don't do that, by the time our children are in junior high and then youth in high school, it's $212 per child per day.
Amazing difference.
So, and we can give lots of statistics like that, but I think that's one critical point of education. And the other one, Joan, that Matthew alluded to earlier, it's the difference between conflict and violence. And I think we've become confused, and you also intimated that in terms of the ongoingness of war. So conflict may be inevitable at this point in time. We can learn to deal with that before it escalates to violence. And that's the root cause, looking at root causes and creating the conditions so that violence doesn't erupt.
Well, who are some of the people here that are actually supporting the Department of Peace actively? I think you mentioned Barbara Lee.
Well, in Congress,
Lee,
there's many, yes. I mean, it's not just Congressman Kucinich. This is an idea who's really gaining life. We have 67 co-sponsors in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Great.
Including in the Bay Area, we have Barbara Lee, Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, George Miller, Ellen Tauscher, Mike Honda. Many folks around the country are signing on in Congress to really get behind this because it is a proactive measure.
Well, that's so encouraging because we like to know who's around us that we might get involved with their offices and get in touch with them and say, what else can we do now?
Everybody should make a call.
Yeah, please.
So I'll reiterate that. Everybody out there can make a call to your congressperson or your senators to say, we are for the Department of Peace and let's get going. Let's get it in the air and get it in action. And, you know, many celebrities are looking at spiritual leaders to give them guidance for how to lead a more peaceful path and a path that stops the conflict in the world. And they want to promote all the kinds of things we're talking about today. And we all know that Richard Gere, for instance, is a student of the Dalai Lama's teachings, which are recognized throughout the world for a steadfast commitment to peace. His Holiness once said it is necessary to help others, not only in our prayers, but in our daily lives. If we find we cannot help others, the least we can do is desist from harming them. Of course, of course. And with that thought, we'll take a very short break and talk next about how we can embrace activism for change in more ways. So keep listening. We'll keep talking.
The Joan Kenley Show, Talk Radio Your Way on 960 KKGN. Dr. Joan Kenley, taking talk radio to the next level on Green 960 AM, KKGN.
Welcome back to the Joan Kenley Show. I'm Joan Kenley, and we're here in the studio with Dot Maver, who is Executive Director of the Peace Alliance and co-founder of the Vermont Peace Academy, and Matt Albrecht, an ecological and social justice activist who's one of the founding members of the National Peace Alliance, which started in 2004. We're focusing on the actions you can take if you're interested in activism for change. Edmund Burke once said, "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do a little." Oh, I like that one a lot. And there's a wide range of activist organizations that hope to mobilize cultures everywhere to end poverty, world hunger, disease, and war. And so within the Peace Alliance Initiative, I'd like to know more about your specific programs, and I think our audience would too.
Thank you, Joan. You know, Matt, maybe if we put it in four areas. And I would say our number one, of course, is our lobbying effort, both direct and indirect. So we have an office in D.C., and as we've been talking, we've got a grassroots movement happening throughout 50 states in this country. And then we also have fundraising efforts, which also have to do with raising public awareness. And we do them according to themes quite often. And in fact, thank you to Avon Madison and Pathways to Peace for helping to bring the International Day of Peace
into
being.
Absolutely, which we had a whole show on the International Day of Peace. And Dot, you were
calling
in on that show.
Exactly. And so we do celebrate that every year as the Peace Alliance, and we have Walks for Peace. Maybe you want to mention about that.
Well, every September, around the time of the International Day of Peace, we do Walks for Peace around the country, which are kind of like a proactive measure. People go out and they stand for something positive, whether it's the Department of Peace or whatever they're interested in, and raise awareness, raise money. It's kind of just a fun, proactive measure.
Which is a great project.
Yeah, and another event, just to give you the theme ideas, our Mother's Day event, which we've done now a number of times, and we deliver pies, you often homemade pies, and say, peace wants a piece of the pie.
Oh, I
to congressional offices. We take them to our congress members.
That's so
believe
good.
Me, they remember you when you bring
yes.
them
food. Yes, I bet they do.
And we have great fun doing that as well. And that has actually created very good relationship. You know, we're really about connecting rather than convincing. The Peace Alliance is really about connecting, not convincing. And mm-hmm. so the delivering of the pies and all of this is really helps build relationships. It's very good. Then we're also dedicated to making visible the programs that a Department of Peace would support and make available throughout the country in our communities.
We really want to know, if there's a Department of Peace, how will it affect me here in my
exactly.
home and in my life and in my work?
Well, you know, hopefully it'll make your community safer, for one. You know,
of
there's
course,
so many
yes.
fun programs. One that's based out of the Bay Area, Challenge Day, which you may or may not know about. It's such a phenomenal program that goes into schools and really helps kids see how interconnected they are and to everything in the world, and really builds this foundation where it gets everyone connected to what is peace. And these things have, when they're embedded in the culture and embedded in the community, everyone's better off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah, Van Jones is another.
Van Jones has been on our program, and he's a fabulous advocate for all kinds of conflict resolution and work within the prison systems and
yes.
keeping people out of prison.
And so, and he names and actually helps oversee some of those very programs that a Department of Peace would be supportive of. It's not that we have to create anything new, Joan. That's the thing. We have to make visible what is already working but is not funded enough and
yes.
is not coordinated and made available throughout the United States. And then the other thing is our Student Peace Alliance.
Tell me more about that.
Well, the Student Peace Alliance is just a little over a year old, and this actually started because students were being bullied and were experiencing violence themselves. And they realized that they didn't want to be part of fighting against the bullying or the violence, but they weren't sure what to do. And they ended up connecting with the Peace Alliance after starting a nonviolent student group in their high school, and then said they wanted to work with us because they recognized we were walking our talk in terms of our unwillingness to be anti-anything, including those who are anti. We really recognize we're moving from that paradigm of separateness to that paradigm of unity or unitive consciousness. And so we're striving to live that. So the Student Peace Alliance just had its first annual conference in Brandeis University in Massachusetts. 300 youth from all over the country. Nobel laureate Betty Williams was there. She's in full support of Department of Peace and of ministries and departments of peace around the world. She hugged every youth after her very inspiring keynote.
What a great picture.
Arun Gandhi was there. And, you know, he's now in Rochester, and they have a Peace Institute there at Rochester University, and many of the students who work with him were part of the group who came to the conference, and Arun, of course, is supportive of this. And there, so much is happening with the students, the youth, and they are finding that you cannot separate peace from environment, from economics. And so they are all working together generationally to come up with ways on their campuses, in their high schools, in their communities, to not only make visible the programs, but to help create cultures of peace so that they are actually creating the world they want to live in.
Well, I find it interesting and very lively to have us all talking about peace in the way that we do language it. But what I have found out and about is that sometimes peace is thought of as dull or gray or void or nothingness, you know, and I think that peace can be
passive.
Technicolor. Passive. And I think that it's sensuous, it's technicolor,
it's
alive,
it's dynamic,
it's juicy, it's for life, it's for blooming in the world. And even in partnerships, I mean, there's nothing more negative or closing than arguments that go nowhere and conflict that hurts. But I mean, frankly, when I think of peacefulness, I think of a smile on somebody's face, and I don't think of it as passive. I think of it as jumping into
Absolutely.
The beauty of life.
A dynamic process. Of sustainability.
There you go.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much we can do to create and cultivate peace, and it's very active.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very active and very alive. Whether it's people doing programs in their community, you know, serious meditators know that it's effort. I mean, there's a certain effort and a willingness to be present with that.
It's a commitment. It's a practice.
Yes.
I think what people don't understand, maybe, and I don't want to speak generally here, but you have to have a plan or there's no plan. You have to have a path or there's no path, or you're not going to go anywhere if you don't have an idea to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
So it's putting it into not just action, which we've mentioned many times today, but putting it in a plan of action too.
Well, Joan, I think you just, in a way, hit the nail on the head, and I will use that metaphor of a toolbox. And when your toolbox has only a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Very good.
And right now, we are very well prepared and well disciplined to use that hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what we're suggesting is that it is time to be as well prepared and well disciplined to use peace building and applied peace building technologies. And unless we study peace, we become peace, we do peace, we won't have peace.
Well, I don't know of many high school curriculums or even grade school curriculums that are promoting anything about this subject. We don't have subjects in school about how to be married. We don't have subjects in school about how to balance a checkbook normally. We don't have a lot of the life action things. And of course, I know that many people in my psychology practice are just stuck, as stuck can be when it comes to knowing how to resolve a conflict.
Yes.
They don't want to argue, they don't want to withdraw, but they don't want to actually get raw and scared and out of control.
So just a couple of suggestions, because I know we are looking for actions also.
Yes.
On this show and in this conversation. You know, dialogue is so important. Communityconferencing.org. Lauren Abramson is doing great work in Baltimore. You know, Baltimore is the only school system in the U.S. that has its own police force. And
oh,
they are
wow.
doing, and violence, of course, in Baltimore, like many of our other cities, they are doing great work with community conferencing and recognizing that if you bring all the people to the table who are involved, not just the one who's done the violence or who
mm-hmm.
it's been done to, but all those who have been impacted and influenced by this, you can actually dialogue and conference community conference your way through to a resolution that is lasting and sustainable. So these kinds of things are happening. The Conflict Resolution Association, I would recommend that people Google that and look at, because in Ohio, the Ohio Dispute Resolution Commission is doing great work in the schools with conflict resolution. So, and restorative justice, there will be a program in the Bay Area in December that we highly recommend people check out. Dominic is coming in from Brazil, who is using nonviolent communication techniques and cutting-edge restorative justice process and combining that. And the Peace Alliance will then be, in fact, we are sending some of our state coordinators to attend, and then we will make that program more visible and available here in the United States as well. So you're right, these are happening. It's our job to help make it visible and participate and become those process models.
And what they were finding in Ohio, for example, like you were talking about life skills in schools, we don't have it. In Ohio, where they are teaching that, they're implementing conflict resolution education into the curriculum, they don't just see violence go down, they see the grade point averages go up, they see truancy go down. Kids are learning more vibrantly, they're absorbing the information from all the different classes when they have that context and safety built into school. It's critical.
And we do have to pause for a short break, but next we'll be looking at that subject of isolation and what causes it and why we stay in it, and some of the issues that we're discussing today that will influence ways for each of us to actively act on positive change, ways that speak to our heart and our soul. So do stay tuned.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment on Green 960 KKGN. Log on to joankenley.com, that's K-E-N-L-E-Y, to learn more and listen to archived shows. Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show online or on 960 KKGN every Saturday at 5.
Hello again, I'm Joan Kenley, and we're continuing our conversation on activism for change. And here in the studio, we have Dot Maver and Matt Albrecht. And the Collective Wisdom Initiative that I want to tell you about right this minute, that's sponsored by the Fetzer Institute, adds to the reasons for including the premise that there are fields of consciousness that can be tapped into for global change. And the study shows that people in groups can consciously generate collective wisdom and that individuals can cultivate their capacity to receive, to hear, and to amplify wisdom in the communities they are called to serve. And I just love that idea. I'm so with that idea because I work with that in Circle and I work with that in my life. And by coming together in groups to consciously generate collective wisdom, Fetzer's premise is that we have the potential to heal conflicts that seem impossible to heal, and we can embrace with compassion polarities and paradoxes that tear the fabric of our psyches and communities, and cultivate our capacities to love and forgive in groups that are splintered, seeking to do together what is not possible alone. But I would also add to that idea that we have to acknowledge that each person has to come to terms with what group or collective speaks to his or her own individual passion for positive change. You can't just sort of leap your heart out there and join just something. You have to have a connector piece because then you'll really be committed. And that's what I've seen time and time again. And that reminds me of the Jackson Miller lyric I've always loved, which says, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." And that me is no longer in isolation. That me is about how to be connected to the collective. And so I know the Peace Alliance is about that and your plans, Matt, for the Summer of Peace in 2009. So let's get into that, if you would.
Well, you know, the Summer of Peace, it's really, this is going to be one of the first times that I'm aware of where there's really a broad range of stakeholders working together.
Great.
You know, like we said, the nonprofits, we've already got quite a few nonprofits that are, this is early, the early stages, by the way, this
and
proposal.
In fact, that's when we want to tell everybody about it because
yes.
we have time. We're
yes.
not saying, you know, we have an instant program for you to grab onto.
No,
but
everyone
we're saying,
can get involved.
Let's get involved long term because that's where the relationships are
yes.
created, and that's how it ripples out into more and more streams
shared
of possibility. Yes.
Yes. Well, we're going into heavy alliance building mode now, and really outreaching to all the different people that do this amazing work that we've been discussing.
Heavy
and
alliance building is something to remember.
Great.
I like that
and we're
phrase.
We're looking at methods. You know, different methods of how can we do this effectively and embody these principles while we're doing it, then build the alliances, then build this whole effort around the Bay Area where everybody can take part in it. You know, from individual actions, interpersonal, as well as just getting involved in a community program. We're looking at peace circles. You know, that study was very interesting. How can we get into community circles, whether it's maybe a neighborhood watch program that really takes on some of this, some of these principles themselves, and just really engaging the entire Bay Area from city governments beyond.
And I think the programs are now addressing the mind, body, heart, and soul
yes.
of the person and the project. The soul of the project, the heart of the project, the soul of the person, the heart of the person, which makes it more humane and human, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's going to be fun, too. The Summer Peace, by the way. I mean, we're looking
we
at big
like
festivals and conferences. I mean, we're going to have, it'll be a really big splash across the country. We want to be felt around the country that we're taking this on. We want to be a national leader. Show models for the way to do this so that cities everywhere can do it. And it ripples up into the federal government. You have all these levels working together to create true peace.
We keep saying, take the me, the M of me, and flip it, and you have we.
Oh, I love that.
And it's this global group where we connect heart to heart, mind to mind, soul to soul. It has deep spiritual roots. And we are sharing our stories, and people from the Philippines and people from Uganda and those from the UK and Australia and all over the world sharing our stories of what's working and what's not working and how we can come together and learn from one another and develop those ways in community that bring lasting peace.
Well, we have to refine the process always because of what's happening in the world may change direction
yes.
for us. And I remember that I was here with the Millionth Circle meeting in mm-hmm. in this room and we were here together when the war started, the very day the war started.
Wow.
And it felt like we were globally connected to a very poignant moment in time. And we were sending our thoughts and our prayers for a resolution to come much more quickly than it has.
But I want to say in terms of participatory democracy, Joan, which is what you are putting your finger on here,
yes.
a representative democracy, participatory democracy. And Marianne is saying it, reminding us all the time that it is time for us to participate fully
mm-hmm.
As Americans in our democracy. And it is the individual voice when in mass with many, many voices that really does make the difference. So that's the thank you for this show today. We all need to follow our passion and take responsibility for that passion wherever it finds us and really speak up. Because again, the government will not be the one necessarily to change. The people, the will of the people, will help change the government.
This is our nation.
Exactly.
Yes, we own it. We have to take our responsibility.
We do have to take responsibility. And Deborah Bowen, our Secretary of State in California, is working very hard to see that we have an honest voting experience this time. And I have to say that I wish I didn't know as much as I do know about what happened in the last election in Florida and Ohio, the state that we're talking about, as my home state. I was devastated to know that we could have those things happen.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's a great wake-up call in the United States of America for all of us. And I am very blessed to be invited to speak all over the country, and particularly when I'm speaking with youth, encouraging all of us to step up. And those who are listening, if you are inclined to run for office and to stand for the participatory democracy and for these things we're talking about, please do so, because it's really time for a change.
Oh, it is. And in fact, if we don't initiate the change, who's going to?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's right.
So basically, what other organizations that you are allied with in cooperation with would you recommend that people know about as well?
Well, there are many. You know, there are many.
I mean, if you Google peace organizations, you will get a huge list. And in fact, yesterday, Havala, our program producer, brought up an organization called One, and they list a ton of peace organizations or people devoted to peace. And we'll have that all on our website, too.
And you can go to www.thepeacealliance.org, and we also have a list resources there and some very good resources. Internationally, I would recommend transcend.org.
Okay.
And the Nonviolent Peace Force.
Very good.
And the Nonviolent Peace Force is doing wonderful work, as you know, and are continuing to grow. And look up Azeem Kamisa's work. You know,
spell that for us, please.
Well, his website is tkf.org.
Oh, that's good. But that's easier to remember.
And that's for in honor of his son, Tariq Kamisa.
Very good.
And it's a foundation, tkf.org, and because Azeem lost his son to a gang shooting. Mm-hmm. And he and the one who shot his son's grandfather, Azeem and the grandfather, are now traveling and speaking to very young children about a sense of belonging and how that plays out for our young people as they grow up and can choose to belong in communities that are sustainable and peaceful rather than violently organized.
Well, this is such a rich conversation, and I wish we had another hour to go because there's so many more things we could talk about. But I would like to thank you so much for coming today and for participating in this program, because it's important that we talk about what we can do and how we can be active in the activism for change.
And we would encourage everyone to call Congress and ask your members of Congress to support H.R. 808, House Resolution 808, calling for a U.S. Department of Peace and Nonviolence. Call 202-224-3121.
And we'll put that number on our website as well. So again, Matt and Dot, this has been so interesting for me, and I have loved every moment of the time we've had together. I'd like to share this remark from Anne Frank, who said how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. Mm-hmm. And these are words to remember. So may you go peacefully on your way from here, and we will see what happens a year from now. Take good care.
Take care.
I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that the Joan Kenley Show brings you Conversation Radio, co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. Be sure to look up thepeacealliance.org and pathwaystopeace.org, and you can find out more about the whole subject of activism for change on my website, where we'll have many valuable references from this show for you. Just go to joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all of our shows are archived and downloadable 24/7. And now you'll find our podcasts on iTunes. You'll hear more timely programs in the next few weeks about conscious giving, the California Women's Agenda, and the presidential primaries. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, program producer Havila Capellas, engineer and technical producer Daniel Fletcher. This is Joan Kenley inviting you to tune into our show for more Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5 on Green 960.